Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a spirit linger around the grounds of a haunted campus?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, hey, get all the bonus content, the extra episodes, the archive, all of it being commercial free, advanced episodes with no ads. If you like listening with no ads, it's just a way to do it. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up there, or Patreon. Go to the Patreon app, search Real Ghost Stories Online, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories and sign yourself up right there. Get all access to all that stuff. You'll love it. It's great, especially with no ads. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Tony. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think I ever shared this story because I went to Dodge City, Kansas.
Okay.
And then we took a break for like a week or so. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't talked to you for a while. Yeah, so I don't think I shared this story. I shared it with you, but it was on the dark side of.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, it was, we were recording it. I didn't share it on the dark side of. You and I just talked for an hour before
we ever do anything.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But anyway, so I want to share this story. So I go to Dodge City, Kansas, and I for work. And so I was at Boot Hill Museum, and Dodge City has quite an interesting history. Most people know it from Gunsmoke, but
so think like Red Dead Redemption, and you know
It's like, you know, because everybody's heard of Dodge City. It's like get out of Dodge. You know,
yeah.
It's like everybody's heard of it, and it, but it really does have a sordid history.
Sure.
So I had like, I literally drove to Dodge City, and the work event thing that I had took 5 minutes. It's like 2 hours there. So I'm like, you know what? I'm at Boot Hill. I'm going to go ahead and tour this Boot Hill Museum. So they have the old timey, you know, boardwalk and stuff. And three of the buildings are original.
Yeah.
And rest of them have, you know, it's just museum stuff. And I'm the only one there that day. And so I'm walking around and, you know, I'm walking in and out of these buildings. And the first original building, I walked in there, I get nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm just looking at the stuff and the only one.
Yep.
And I went in and out, looked at all the other things, and I found a bunch of creepy dolls. I did post them on the Real Ghost Stories group page because the dolls were super creepy. But so then they have the Hardesty House, and that's an original building. And so I walked up to it, and it was a house, obviously, this family lived in. And I opened the door, and I'm like, I kind of, from the outside, I'm like, yeah, this is a little creepy to me. But I walked in, I shut the door, and I take a step in. And whenever I feel something, my heart just starts fluttering. And for no reason, and I breathe really shallow. And so all of a sudden my heart just starts fluttering and I'm like, oh, I'm like, I am not the only one here. And, but I was the only one there. And so I'm the only one in the house and I'm kind of walking around and I stopped to look at something and the second floor is closed off. And so I, when I stopped, I heard the floor above me start creaking.
Oh gosh.
Get the fuck out of here. I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go.
Yeah.
And your house is lovely.
Yeah.
But it was just really weird because when I stopped, I was looking at some stuff and it was like, this is a really lovely house.
Sure.
And then it hit me. I'm like, but none of this stuff was theirs. There was like three things in the whole house that was theirs. And yeah. I'm like, but none of it was theirs. And when I thought that, that's when it creaked above my head. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to go. And so then I went into the next building, which was original. It was a church. I got nothing. I walk in there. I'm totally fine. But it was just that one. It was creepy.
That is.
So I said something about it to one of my friends who also picks up on stuff. And she's like, when I told her I went to Dodge City and I went to, and I said, she goes, did you feel something? And I go, yeah. And she goes, at the Hardesty House? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I think I'm not the only one.
No.
Well, obviously it's me and her. So there's probably other people, I would guess. But, you know, it's weird when you go in a house like that or even a museum because there's so many things that are, you know.
Sure.
From that time.
Yeah.
So there's lots of artifacts and there's old jails and funeral homes, all this shit. But I don't know. It's just that one house. It's like, whoa.
I have, I had an experience on my trip as well. I had a couple and you can see them, the investigative ones on Dad, Daughter and the Dead. On our YouTube channel or on our social media.
Which are Harper. Great videos, by the way.
Thank you. And that's us going through a Ryansey Cemetery. But I have another one that was just me. And I it's a new ghost story that I can add to a place I actually have other ghost stories from. The radio station. My hometown station that I've shared many stories of on the air. I went in there to say hi. I hadn't been in there in 5-10 years. And I just, you know, walked right in and they're like having a little meeting up towards the front. I'm like, hi, I'm here to buy shopping spree, which is you used to buy those certificates from the radio stations. And they're like, oh, hey, you want to join us in our meeting? And I'm like, I'm good. But and I asked if somebody else was on the other side of the building. So I went over there to see them. They were on the air. And so I'm just in the building and I worked there forever. So I know it. And there's nobody else there. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the basement. I'm going to see what I can see. So I go back down and I start rolling tape. And I by now, I'm sure I've probably posted this. But as of right now, I haven't posted it. So I just start recording and narrating. And like, hey, this is, I'm in the radio station that I always talk about. And I start going down the stairs to the basement. And in this shot, as I'm walking down the stairs, I'm starting to tell the story. And then I hear this very distinct, like two knocks on the door that I just went through. It's very distinctive. It's the hollow, you know, shitty basement door is all it is. But those stairs do not make that sound. There was nothing else in that area that would have made that sound. And it was like just right next to me, right as I passed those stairs, the knock, knock. And I'm like, I think I just heard a knock. And I just kept going. I didn't stop rolling. I just like, okay, cool. So then I walked down and then the haunting thing to me initially was seeing the old radio boards were just kind of laying on the ground on top of each other from our studios. And they, you know, they've moved on in 20 years and have new boards now, but these are the old ones. And I was like, oh, the old boards. And then I got to go into the tunnel, which was the part of the Underground Railroad. And I had a good camera going on, or a good light going on in the camera, so I could see in there pretty good. And got some footage on each end of where it gets bricked off. And I haven't really watched it or listened to it in great detail yet. I'm also curious if there's any EVP or anything on there. But it was interesting to have that knock happen right there. It was distinctly like knock, knock. I don't know. I
mean, which is so strange. Do you think that like when you go back to some place where you've had experiences before, like, do you think it's like that sense of, hey, we're still here. We remember you, like getting your attention.
I do. I mean, I think, you know, it, I don't know what it was. I have to look at what I was saying on the tape at that time. But I'm curious about that. 'Cause I I want to connect, you know, maybe there's something. I said, hey, we're going into the basement that I always thought was haunted. Knock, knock. You know, I don't know. I'm because it was something of that nature that was being said. Because I was just
interesting,
just kind of beginning to roll. But yeah, it was neat. And I mean, it's just, it's the same as ever, you know, those places, those basements don't age.
Especially the ones that lead out to underground rooms.
Exactly. Those ones tend to not change. It tends to take a lot of destruction and like the building burning down and collapsing on itself. And even then they usually still look the same, once you get everything out of them. I love to go. If I was still there today, I would be asking, can I knock a brick out of this thing where it kind of is the tunnel? Because I'd love to just try and get a camera back on the other side of it and see what's over there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say knock a brick out and bring it home like a souvenir.
Oh, I probably want to do that
like
too.
Bad idea.
That's probably also something I'd like to do. But no, I just wanted to just knock a brick out and see, well, how far does this tunnel go back? I mean, it could be collapsed in on itself as well.
It'd be interesting,
but they have found many in that town over the last, about 20 years, about 20 years ago, I should say, when they were doing some new construction on the roads and such, they came across tunnels that they didn't know existed, including one that went directly through the high school football field, which is downtown, went right underneath it. And they started to notice because the field started to sag in a certain area. They're like, what is this? And the tunnel was beginning to kind of, you know, fall in on itself. And they had to like bring dirt and everything. And yeah. So.
Wow.
It's just interesting.
I can't wait to see that video.
Yeah. What lies beneath our cities is always, wasn't there a show
especially
about that?
Especially when you go farther, like that corridor.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting history. And from the south all the way up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people are fleeing and, you know, there's just a lot of suffering and pain. And, you know, and out here, like Oklahoma, Kansas, the whole Trail of Tears thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's just this suffering, this immense suffering and desperation that was going on.
And the Trail of Tears is like a mile from my house.
Which is really, really sad.
Yeah.
Like what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
It feels heavy when you go down it. I mean, there's a way to enter that park that I like to go to here, the Battlefield Park. It's just like all like sadness to go into this very beautiful park. You can enter it through the Trail of Tears, which is this real pretty line of trees that you go through that all kind of arch over each other. So it's kind of this tree tunnel. And that's kind of neat if it weren't on the Trail of Tears. And then it winds you into the battlefield where the battle took place that I think about 3,000 people got killed at. So, and it's like fun. Like rolling tape and me and Harper are getting a picnic and having a grand old time.
But it's like, you just think about it, like that kind of suffering that went on.
Yeah.
There's no way that leaves.
No,
completely,
no. And
ever.
And we like going there because we like to remember those, you know, just kind of observe. We love the history of it. We're not there to make fun of it or anything. It's just funny, you know, what people are attracted to in terms of what we find interesting. And like, this would be fun to go and learn about. Tons of people died here. And it's not like, yay, tons of people died here. It's just like, that's really interesting, you know, and you just think of all the things, you know, that took place where you're.
Yeah. Like I'm totally
Subway.
Fascinated by the Civil War.
Yeah.
Totally fascinated by it and the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
But I also think it's important to know what that was all about.
Yeah. No, I agree. I completely agree. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, what's up, guys? This is coming from Topeka, Kansas.
Oh.
I have two stories from my time at college in Atchison and here in my hometown of Topeka.
Atchison's super haunted town.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's a super haunted town.
Yes. I think I've been through it once and I wanted to spend a lot more time there, but
they say it is the most haunted town in Kansas.
It's interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting buildings there. I've been listening for the podcast for the past 2 years. The house I live in with my mom, dad, sister, and animals have had its history with a little paranormal activities here and there, from animals staring at the top corners of the living room ceiling to hearing glass breaking but finding no broken glass anywhere. I've always had a thing for watching and listening to paranormal shows, movies, and YouTube videos. Some history of my house, really quick, in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. I haven't pinpointed which year it happened in. But a married couple had lived here, and the wife didn't allow her husband to drink alcohol inside the house. So he'd go sit in his car, turn his radio on, and drink until he would return inside and go to sleep. Well, one morning, the wife had woken up in the morning. Her husband wasn't in bed or in the living room. She had looked for him, then checked his car. She tried waking him up, but he had a heart attack the previous night. We don't know his name, but we call him Fred. He hasn't done anything to harm anyone or any of the animals. My latest recollection of a paranormal event happened when I was in middle school in the year of 2013. The previous night, we had just watched The Conjuring. So I'm 12 years old and I've had weird feelings, like the feeling of TV static behind my ears and the feeling of me either not alone or I'm being watched. The morning after, I woke up late or was rushing so I didn't miss the bus to school, and I do my morning routine. As I'm walking out to the living room, I hear two claps coming from the entryway, just like the movie when the mom is looking for her kids and the closet opens and the hand comes out and claps. Got up against the wall and slowly peeked around the corner to see if I could see anything. Like usual, whatever clapped at me was not there. The main living area is located on the first floor, as the front door is on the base floor. I told my parents about this when I got home, and they just told me that Fred was encouraging me to get my ass into gear so I wouldn't miss the bus. This past school year, I attended Benedictine College in Atchison, and it's a beautiful town during the day. But at night, it doesn't feel right being out and about with all the paranormal hot spots that are within a couple miles of one another. The Sally House gives me weird vibes just driving past it. One night doing so, I had a feeling to take a picture of the house, and lo and behold, in the top left window, I captured what seems to be a lady standing there watching the cars drive by. But she was blurry, and this is during the time no one was living there. And yes, a couple did live there. I looked at the picture showing my friend and didn't point it out to him. He gunned it away from the house. I asked why he did that, and he said, "I saw a lady in the window." Thank you for the amazing podcast content, and I hope this makes it to have a good one. Joseph. Thoughts on that?
I think that part about, yeah, that was Fred saying to get your ass just to the bus or whatever. Yeah. I thought that was funny that the parents are like, yeah. It's Fred is tired of you. Like, do what you're supposed to do. But Atchison, I think, like, would be a really interesting little trip. It's not that far from Topeka, Kansas City. It's like in the northeast corner of Kansas. Mm-hmm. But it'd be a really cool trip if somebody, obviously, like all of these listeners, mm-hmm. love that sort of thing. Because I think, like, in October especially, they do lots of ghost tours. But I think you can do ghost tours throughout the year there. But it would be a great, you know, if you're doing a road trip, it would be a great place to stop for the night. Check it out.
What's there's another?
It's a really, and some magnificent old houses. Yeah. Like, really big, really awesome.
There's another town that has a lot of interesting history in it. And that's also not that far from there. It's in the Kansas City area. Weston, Missouri.
Okay.
That's another one that has a lot of history. And they have a really cool downtown that I'd love to go see again. It also is, if you've seen 360 Vodka, they make that there. And there's another.
And that's a very good vodka.
Yeah. And there's it's a distillery that was originally, it was a whiskey distillery. And I'm just trying to think. It's the one that has those casks with the numbers on. Anyway, it was, I think that's part of the company that actually makes that vodka now. Weston, Missouri is another one in that area that, yeah, worth checking out.
So you could probably do those two
nights,
like make a little trip out of it.
Yeah, you could easily do that. And I think, it'd be a fun little haunted two night getaway. Mm-hmm. to see if someone's up for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this letter. It says, I've been listening for a couple years and I love hearing other experiences. I have so many stories, but I'll start at the beginning and maybe circle around on some at another date. I was born in Aberdeen, Washington. Yes, I know Nirvana, or I knew Nirvana. And at one point we lived in a haunted house on Hoquiam River that we called Windowtopia. This whimsical house had stained glass windows and carved doors, a rock shower, and a bomber cockpit as the skylight in another. A three-story house had all windows in the front of the house. It was a magical place to live. I was 3 years old when we first moved there. We had a vegetable garden on a lower piece of property close to the river, and I'd play down there as often as I could. There were the most amazing blue grass beads that I would find when my mom would till the ground. I had coffee cans full of them, made jewelry, and wore them often. My mother told me when I was much older that I always had a sixth sense, and when I was a teen, I found out my mother was a seer. My father was in real estate and kind of well-to-do for Grays Harbor, and he loved reading books. He would buy out bookstores that went out of business, so we literally had bookcases in most every room. My mother said that I would walk past bookcase and stop, walk over, pull out a book, and take it to my mom and tell her it was bad and she needed to throw it out. She always did. Fast forward a couple years, my dad was reading The Amityville Horror. And my mom was not so happy that it was even in the house. Like I said, we were on the river, and we had a beautiful collie named Smokey. As was told to me by my parents, if I was there, I don't recall. My parents came downstairs, and the screen door was covered with flies, and Smokey had dug up a bone. It freaked my mom out, and she tossed the book out of the house. The way my mom told it was that it was some kind of animal bone or something. She seemed to play it down. My parents have both passed, and I've told the stories hundreds of times, but there was no one left to confirm details or verify my story. My parents moved me to Florida after Mount St. Helens blew, and I just moved back up to Washington 3 years ago. This last month, we had a big get-together for a cousin's birthday, and out of nowhere, my cousin Steve says, "Hey, do you remember when Smokey dug up that skull and put it in the solarium?" I was like, wait, I forgot that my cousin had lived there when he and his first wife were married. Finally, someone that was there, I asked him, "Do you think the house on the river was haunted?" He was like, "Definitely. Good thing your mom never said anything about the bones, or they would have come and took the land." What? I was told that there was Native American burial grounds on the property. I have other stories in the house and others, but I did always have these gifts or possibly something that was imparted to me, spending all that time in the garden in the weeds. What are your guys' thoughts? Side note, I was raised that we had some native in our ancestry, but I've not been able to document it. I now work for a tribe, and those beads were trading beads, and maybe they were the trading post next to the river. I do not think that they would bury right next to a river, in my experience. After being gone for the most part of 35 years, I felt my senses heighten when I returned to Washington. I had a dream last year that was so real. It was in my childhood garden, and a tribal elder and a chief were there. I feel like it means something. Maybe I'll share the dream at another time. Thanks again for having a place for people to share and learn from each other. Thoughts on all that?
I'm not sure, because it's so hard to tell, mm-hmm. You know, because if one person says, you know, maybe native burial grounds or something, mm-hmm. You know, I think you'd want to do a little digging maybe to find out if that's true.
Yeah.
But the fact that the
beads,
that the dog brought a skull, to, like, that's kind of weird.
Well,
like,
what dog hasn't brought a skull, you know, that you've had that hasn't brought at least one skull?
My buddy all the time back in his skull digging days.
Yeah.
Skull digging days. But I mean, so if it's a skull, I would guess you could tell if it's a human skull versus an animal one, right?
think so.
So if my dog brought a skull to my backyard or my back door, I think I'd call the cops.
Yeah.
But they don't want to call the cops because they don't want anyone to know there's a burial ground there.
I just think
it's weird that I wouldn't even think twice about calling the cops. I would be like, give me that skull. Call the cops.
The only thing I can wonder about is, like, was there like something that had happened previous on the property that or in other areas where they've come across these burial grounds, and then they saw like those properties were then like immediately, you know, crime scenes or something, not crime scenes, but, you know, like discovered that this is a burial ground and then the city just takes it back over and then
could be.
Yeah. And that's why they're like, if they discover that this is that, they're going to, you know, eminent domain.
And that definitely could have been it.
Which does make sense. Because if that was my property too, and you didn't know that going in, and you're like, I don't want to like eminent domain my property. Like, I'm okay. I'm at peace with this. I wouldn't have chosen this, but, you know, but like, hey, yeah, I get, I, you know, that would be.
But it would also explain why the person, guy or girl, mm-hmm. I never know.
I don't know.
He or she found that or could pick up on things, like, especially when you're bringing, like the dad was bringing in all the books in the house.
Yeah.
Like, I think that sometimes, you know, things, really old things, you know, I think you can bring in something when you bring in antiques or really old books, maybe. Yeah. And the fact that, get rid of this one, this is a bad book. And the mom would go, okay. You know, I just think it's interesting. So,
you know, I hear that a lot.
It makes a lot of sense. A kid could pick up on.
I hear that a lot about,
especially living there.
About books, that they are a very commonly haunted object.
I get that.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me.
I get it too. It's interesting. So it's like if you wanted your house to be haunted, your best bet is to go to an antique store and just buy a shitload of books.
Which is what her dad was doing.
Yes, exactly. Dad. Yeah. And then see what happens. And then, but then the mystery becomes, well, where is the haunting coming from? What book is the haunting coming from?
But then you have a child who goes through and goes, bad book. This is a bad book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that the kid could pick up on that.
And then the parent goes, okay. And then they start reading the bad book. And then all the horrible shit that they're reading about in the book starts happening to the family.
Bump.
But the child keeps picking out new books and the parent can't stop their cure. They can't believe this is happening and they have to prove that it's not real, but they just keep doing it and reading and reading and reading until eventually like everything is just destroyed. Except the bookshelf in the burned out hulk of the home as the camera pans away from the unburned bookshelf. But the whole house is like just charred.
Exactly. You are welcome for another great idea for a screenplay.
There you go, kids.
Because I just think that's just fascinating to me.
It is.
Because I like, he or she didn't really dwell much on the book part.
No.
I think the book part was actually was as interesting to me as the skull part.
Yeah.
So I think there's something there.
I do too. Let's do one more call. 855-853-4802. Our phone number. Hi.
Okay, so I'm restarting this because I am at work and I'm just trying to make this quick. But my name is Gina. I'm from Kansas. My boyfriend Smith just died this last year on January 31st in a head-on collision in Cass County. She also died with another little girl. My boyfriend Smith was 4. The other little girl was 5. There was also a 22-year-old. And a 21-year-old in the car. They also died. And there was one other girl, I think she was about 20. She didn't die. Everyone else had passed away in the crash. It's pretty tragic. Everybody is still pretty shocked about it. No one was expecting it, obviously. But the one that had survived, she said that she's seen everybody leave the car right after the wreck. And she was trying to leave the car too, but they were saying, no, 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 you know, you have to stay. And that's just what I've heard. She was trying to wake everybody up, and no one would wake up. Pretty tragic. But why I wanted to call was her favorite colors. The baby that died, my boyfriend's niece, her name was Malaysia. Her favorite colors were orange and red. We have this plant light in our bathroom that is always on blue because that's my favorite color, but it changes from blue to red. We have to manually change. Anyways, we had it blue for a long time in the bathroom. I was in there one day, just doing my hair or whatever, and I come out, I hit the threshold of the bathroom, and it turns red. And that just, it freaked me out. At the same time, I really like the sense of maybe she's coming to me because she knows that I'm comfortable with, you know, the paranormal and everything, even though I've never experienced it. I have an open mind about it. So that kind of touched me in a way I can't really explain. Also, my sons, okay, so we have two sons, and one of their birthdays were May 13th. We had got them some bright green balloons, and we tied them all together, and they were on like a little paperweight. They were just kind of where they'd kind of float just a little bit off the floor because the one that had the birthday was 8, but we also have a 3-year-old, so we would give him the balloons because he really wanted them, whatever, so we let him play with them. And we have fans in our house. I don't know if it's the fans that had did it, but the balloons made it from our room down the hallway to my other son's room, the one who had the birthday, almost as if they were going back to him, like, you know, these are his balloons type of thing. That was probably nothing. It was probably just a fan. But that was pretty freaky. I love your show. I just wanted to make this a quick call. I hope if she does come back to try to communicate, it's possibly with me, just because I'm so comfortable with the subject. But I guess we'll see, and I'll call back if I have anything else. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. Thoughts?
You know, I think... It definitely, I mean, I think that when someone passes, you know, especially that's interesting that one person who survived saw all the people leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting. But, you know, I think that so often, and we've talked about this before, I think you look for that big sign, the big, like, you know, you can't miss this communication from the dead person. And when I think when you're looking for those, you miss the little ones because mm-hmm. I think you're more apt to get a small one, like a light changing color.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to know for sure if that was a communication or not, but it could be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think once you're open to it, when you're looking for, you're not looking for the small things, but you're aware of them, that I think that you frequently see something.
Yeah.
Now, I think too, you know, and I don't think everybody sends you a sign. I don't think every person who dies sends signs to people. I don't. Because you could wish for one all day and it'll never happen.
Yeah.
But I also do think that you'll miss them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it could be something as simple as that. And, you know, but if you're looking for a big, like, hey, I'm here type of communication, those don't happen very often.
Yeah.
You know, because like I had, you know, Doug, when he died, that was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole episode on that. But
yeah,
like one of my best friends passed and nothing ever. I never got anything from him, which is really weird. I kind of thought I would.
Sure. It makes you wonder, okay, well, what happens? Do we all get to be ghosts? Do we go on somewhere else right away sometimes? It's like, I don't get why.
Like, I think I've had communications from my dad. I really feel strongly about that.
Yeah.
But like, when my friend died, I got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and then like when an ex-boyfriend died last year from COVID. I hadn't talked to him in years, years. And that morning I'd gotten up and I, you know how everybody does, you look at Facebook in bed first thing, which is so weird. Why do we do that? But I did. And I saw that he had died and I got up and walked in my kitchen. I'm like, there's a weird light on. Mm-hmm. And it was my garage light. And I've mentioned this in another episode, but my garage light was on. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the light that you would turn on from the inside of the house. It's the one that you'd have to reach around and turn on from the garage side, which is also the one from the garage door that goes out after so many minutes.
Yeah.
So I have no idea why that light was on. But I was like, it just felt like a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
I took it as a nod from him.
Like, sure.
You know? So I don't know. It's really strange. But I think if you're open to it.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody else is shutting down and that person can't get through, they got to find the person they can get through to.
Yeah. And being open to interpreting things beyond just, it's not going to be as literal as we all want it to be. It's like kind of be aware of stuff around you and kind of connect some dots and go, I mean, and then you connect it. It's like, well, what are the odds of, you know, these sort of things all kind of playing together like this? And that's kind of the, you know, the magic of it sometimes where it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, what are the odds of all these things kind of connecting and making sense? And then that's how you can sometimes find those messages. All right. Yeah. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial free, and it keeps us on the air. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.